I have talked to some people recently who have said to me, I no longer read a newspaper. I no longer watch news on television because it's too depressing. It's just too difficult to listen to what's happening to the world and to our country. I need some good news. And I tell you, tonight we have great news in Psalm 2. If you'd like some good news, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go. Psalm 2. We'll read it and we'll come back and study it. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in confusion. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath, and agitate them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Embrace the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. This psalm is about the triumph of the Lord over all rebellion. And we begin with the first stanza. By the way, this psalm is a song, and the Jewish people would sing this in their worship, and it's divided into four stanzas, 1 through 3, 4 through 6, 7 through 9, 10 through 12. And so we'll look at these stanzas. And the title of the first stanza, 1 through 3, is The Human Rebellion. And we begin with the word why. And it's a word filled with passion. It's a question, but it's also a statement. And you read, why? Oh, why do the heathen rage? Why is the question? Because it is so ridiculous that they would do this. And the people imagine a vain thing. There's human rebellion. They rage. That is, They're in a turmoil. It's like a tumult. It's so absurd. It's sheer madness for a human being to even think of rebelling against the Lord. The heathen rage, violent hatred, like a boiling sea. And then the people imagine a vain thing. Something that is absolute vanity. Absolutely useless for them to have this thought. And then in verse 2 we read that the kings of the earth set themselves. That is, they resolve with determination that they're going to overthrow the authority of the Lord. They counsel together, like when the United Nations meet together, which they did recently, and had speakers from several countries whose message was to criticize the United States of America. And then our own representative gets up and only criticizes the United States of America. The kings of the earth set themselves against the Lord. And the word Lord here is Jehovah. Jehovah is a great word that the Hebrews used to worship God. It's the word that God gave Moses to say to Pharaoh. God says to Moses, go back to Egypt, confront Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Moses says, who shall I say sent me? And the Lord said, I am. And that's the word here. I am that I am. Now sometimes in English grammar we get mixed up between am and is. I is okay, or I am okay, or how do we... What this means is always. I was God. I am God. I always will be God. The eternal, self-existent God. They set themselves against the God who is inexhaustible, tireless, unchanging, non-aging, never failing, almighty, and the kings of the earth and the heathen are raging against the Lord. How preposterous, how ridiculous is the sin nature. It says also against his anointed, which is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. And today there's probably a more intense push to rid the world and especially our country of Christ. You can talk about any other religion and it's quite acceptable, but you can't have a meeting with the public and use the word Christ. What a change. Earlier, I used to be invited to a city council meeting. to give the invocation. And I prayed through the Lord Jesus Christ flat out there. And they would invite me back. Now, you can't get near her, a thought like that. Christ is the center of controversy. And there's a rage against him tonight. They set themselves together. They take counsel against the Lord. And they're saying against Jehovah, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What is that? That's rebellion against authority. And that's what happens with sin. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. They wanted to be like God. And that's what we want in our selfish nature. So there's the first stanza that introduces the absurdity of human sin against Jehovah God. Why would anyone think we could get away with rebellion? Now we come to the second stanza, and the title of this stanza is The Divine Response. We're going to hear from God. Verse 4. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in confusion. The laughter here is scorn and mockery. He is amazed at their futility. But he's calm. He's not disturbed. Jehovah is not pacing back and forth in heaven because of human rebellion. All rebellion causes him no alarm. He knows what he will do and what he can do. And he will bring them into confusion. Verse 5, he shall speak to them in his wrath. Now there's a word that's lost in the modern church. The word wrath. It's the popular thing to speak of love and love only. But God is more than love. He's holy, holy, holy. He shall speak to them in his wrath out of his justice, and he is not going to let the rebellion continue forever. In verse 5, he'll speak to them in his sore displeasure. In verse 6, he announces his plan. Now the kings of the earth set themselves together, and tonight the plan on earth is to build a one world order, a one world government, a one world economy. But God says, here's my plan. I have my King. You can meet and counsel all you want to. Here is my plan. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That is our Lord Jesus Christ, God's King, hopefully our King, hopefully your King, your authority. We come now to the third stanza. And the title of the third stanza is The Divine Decrees, or The Divine Plan of God. Verse 7. The Lord, I will declare the decree. Now we have a conversation between Father and Son. The Lord has said to me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. So God announces His plan, which is predestined. It's not something God just thought of. God never has plan B because He's startled or surprised. He has a predestinated plan that He is carrying out tonight. And His plan is for the dominion of His King, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will be in absolute authority over all. And He is going to take care of the rebellion, all of history, all of empires, and all of present history. We think of the world today and what is happening, the tension in the Middle East, the matter of Iran testing missiles, the threats from North Korea and Russia. The world is ripe either for war or for a leader who will have the seeming answers. The Bible speaks of the last days. The last days are from the ascension of Christ till He comes again. In the last days, there are those who study prophecy who say that based on Daniel chapter 2 and chapter 9, that there will be a revival of the old Roman Empire. And today we have the euro, the European currency. They are united. And they are powerful. And there are some leaders in Israel who want to join the European Union. There are some leaders in Australia who want to join the European Union. So things are happening rapidly from the biblical prophetic viewpoint and also world history. Now there are those who believe in a conspiracy to bring about this one world order and one world government. People who have been planning for years to bring this about. And they are closer tonight than the world has ever been. Let me just mention a few involved in the conspiracy. And it centers around money. Who controls the world? Those who control the money. This is about power and money. And so we have the Council on Foreign Relations, a group who have longed for socialism and have planned for our country to become under socialism. There is the Trilateral Commission, which divides the world in three groups with three leaderships, and David Rockefeller is the head of this group. The president of Chase Manhattan Bank in New York. A group known as the Bilderbergs, moneyed people from Europe. The Rothschild family, long in England a political and wealthy dynasty, who some say have a great control over who becomes president of the United States. There is the Club of Rome, a wealthy group. So, things are moving. And we would look at this and say, we're headed for trouble. But thank God we have Psalm 2. Now, it's interesting that people who study prophecy only think of the signs of the Lord's coming and the signs of these last days. And there is a general agreement, as far as I can discern, that the sign that has to be prominent and come about is the decline of the United States of America as a world power. So that all countries can be even. There can't be one country more powerful than another. And we are in that problem tonight. The kings of the earth have their plan, but God has His plan, and that is the dominion of our Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you like that, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, He'll reign forever. And He'll put him down with a rod of iron. And when He comes, He will not, quote, mess around. If that's communicates anything. Now, there is a fourth stanza, verses 10 through 12. Anyone feel like singing it for us? No? All right. Oh, well, you know, I have a hard time starting on key. And I have found very few people that can start a song on key. But I know of one person who is just about perfect. She hits it every time. She's sitting to my right in a white skirt. Her name is Faye. So, you want to sing a song? Ask her to start it.
I don't know the song.
I'm safe. The fourth stanza, verse 10. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, embrace the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now, this fourth stanza includes a curse and a blessing. And there is a thought of the anger of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's a sad thing that people have presented our Lord as some kind of an effeminate wimp who is so lovey-dovey he can't get anything done. No, he is the Lord. He puts the Pharisees straight, and he will deal with these people in rebellion and crush them. This is the doom of all those who reject him and hate him. And this spells hell for the heathen. Now then, there is a blessing. And the exhortation here is to embrace the Son. And this means worship. Worship the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. Don't wait. Live in appreciation of him. Do not deny him. Now, he embraced us. He embraced us at the cross. In the Old Testament, God would meet people at the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. Now the veil is torn, and where God meets a sinner tonight is at the cross, no other place. So we come to him to embrace him at the cross with submission, and by faith to trust him and glory in the fact that he is in charge and that God has his plan and he is working his plan very, very effectively. And this is the good news of Psalm 2. Let's bow for prayer. Lord God Jehovah, almighty, eternal, self-existent, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God who gives us the Holy Spirit, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Psalm 2. Thank you for some good news. And thank you that you have put faith in our hearts to trust in you and rest our life and our country into your care. This is our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen.